Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, motorcycle, boat, RV. Maybe you want bundles. Whatever they'll do, they'll do whatever they can to save you money. And not only that, make sure you're fully insured. Customer service means everything to them. And don't forget about the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament on August 9th. To benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Show will be out there that day as well. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online. SunburyMotors.com, by the way. It's great to see Jair Brown walk and get his degree on Saturday. And also, let's give credit where credit is due. Justin Fields got his degree from Ohio State over the weekend and walked as well. So, time now for our play-by-play call of the day. When they're in game film, the opposition says, A, you have to stop him, and B, he's Waldo. We go after him. Well, Harden was on the end of the play he likes to be on, the one where he shoots, because defensively, he's only obligated to do it because the rules claim you have to.
And Embiid bullies his way inside, out to Harden for the three. Got it! Celtics are going to play. Tatum against Harris. Tatum, smart. Got it! Did it count?
I don't think he got it off.
Did not get it off in time, it appeared. It appeared to be late. Review it by rule because it went through the basket as the time expired.
James Harden ends up with 42. And there's John Howe.
Nice.
A recovering victim from that terrible Michigan State shooting spree, who is a guest of James Harden at the game today.
Yeah.
Harden vowed he would be a part of his recovery. And he paid off on that promise, not only by bringing John to the game here today, but giving him his shoes here in the aftermath and giving him a riveting moment with that three ball.
Isn't that great? And that he did that, and I knew he was going to bring him to the game. We saw that ahead of time, and he paid off on his pledge, and it was a great moment for the two of them afterward.
Much respect.
They were hoping for a second overtime. Jaylen Brown was, because Jaylen Brown felt he could get to maybe 90 points.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Now, very quickly, on the timeout thing. I could care less what Mazzulla does. That's up to him. But I don't understand what the hubbub is about not calling timeouts. I don't get it. I have on the floor Brown, Tatum, Horford, White, Marcus Smart. Five guys that have all been there before and know the offense. You've got 15 seconds to go on the clock. Now, if I have 6 to 9 seconds to go, maybe even stretch it to 10. All right, now I call the timeout because I want to advance the ball. And that's the only reason. There's nothing strategically brilliant. I mean, I just want to advance the ball and, like, eat up 65 to 70 feet. But if I've got 15 seconds to go, the Sixers are all backpedaling and thinking that they might call a timeout. Like, no. And the shot they got at the end of regulation is wide open. Yeah, he was short. The shot they got in overtime was about, I'd say, 2/10 late. I don't understand what... this goes back to the 80s, when TV really started really televising a lot of basketball. And everybody kept saying, you know, one analyst after another, well, you need a timeout, need a timeout, need a timeout, need a... No, you don't need a timeout. I need a timeout if I have an inexperienced team. I need a timeout if I have a team that doesn't know each other very well. I need a timeout because time and score says I need to advance the ball, and I don't have enough time to advance the ball and get into the play I want. But if you're sitting there with 15 seconds and you elect not to call a timeout, what's wrong with that? I don't get it.
Totally agree. And I knew that he would do that, both at the end of regulation and at the end of overtime, because if you've been watching this series, that group that's out there knows what they were doing, and they have been the more... They've been the better executing team, and they've kind of been the more confident team, especially in how things were going down the stretch yesterday.
Well, I mean, you know, we talk about having veterans out there, time, score, what it means, and I've had, you know, people say, well, it was a one-point game. You had to do whatever. Okay, you want an example of a one-point game in the waning seconds, and a shot was just...
The far wing picket goes by Martinez, brings it back out with eight. Now on the baseline, underneath, kicks it back out. Lundy straight on three for the lead. No rebound, goes to Winter, lays it in
at the buzzer.
Penn State wins the game. The Nittany Lions come all the way back and win it.
Well, guess what?
Bingo!
They didn't call timeout on that play either.
Correct.
You don't have to call timeouts, okay? You've got to do the... Okay. If you call a timeout there, I'm perfectly fine with it. All right? I'm perfectly fine with it if you call a timeout because there's something specific you want to do, you want to advance the ball, whatever. Okay? That's fine. It also gives the opposition a chance to come out of the timeout, not have to backpedal, set in the position they want, and you go from there. If he called a timeout there, fine. Wouldn't have mattered. And there would be nobody saying anything had he called a timeout. But he elects twice to not call a timeout, and then he didn't get any points out of it. Okay, well, guess what? You want to know how many times I've seen teams call timeouts and get no points out of it? It doesn't matter. It's always time, score, situation. It was 15 seconds to go on the clock. You got plenty of time to bring it up. They're backpedaling. They can't get set. You know what you want to run. And they got two open looks. One went in late, one didn't go in. Okay. That happens. But I don't understand what the hubbub is. When did it become a standard? I can tell you exactly when it became a standard that you had to call a timeout. When TV started talking about over and over again, you need timeouts. You don't. It's all about time, score, situation, personnel. And again, this is also part of the analytics era. Call the timeout. Okay, you got to be able to, you know, we got to go for this, this. No. Guess what? You can do things by gut feel. And it doesn't mean it's going to work. Just like doing it by the book also might not work. But boy, everybody felt better. You called the timeout. I don't get it. I don't even know why it was even a debate, but it's something I've talked about on the show many times. All right? I've been around coaches who absolutely wanted to call timeouts there. Fine. That's their prerogative. That's what they're comfortable at. And I've been around a lot of coaches that said, no, play on. It just depends on what they're thinking and feeling in the moment. And to be honest with you, it is the TV era that really kicked the you've got to have a timeout here into play. It's almost like you're hearing Mark Jones, who, by the way, is an excellent announcer in his own right. Mark is excellent. And he sounded surprised.
He did at the end of regulation, too.
Well, yeah, I would say, but he sounded surprised then, too. He said, they're going to play on. Like, yeah, what about it? I mean, that's... I don't... It's not one size fits all. And what, everybody feels better because you called a timeout? You know, you end up with the exact same result?
And not only that, too, I'm pretty sure if you look at the play at the end of regulation, the play at the end of overtime, I think it's the exact same thing except Marcus Smart's on opposite ends of the floor. It started with Tatum with the ball. He dribbles down to the paint. He kicks it back out to Marcus Smart. I'm pretty sure that's the exact same play, just Smart was on different ends of the floor.
And guess what? He was open each time.
Exactly.
No offense. There's nothing wrong with that.
And they've been doing that to the Sixers all series, and yet Doc continues to try to play man-to-man. And the one time he actually played zone, it worked. Harden nearly got a steal, and it threw off the Celtics a little bit. But we had to go back to man-to-man, and guess what? The Celtics have beat it every single time.
I'm just saying there's nothing wrong with calling a timeout. Nothing. And there's nothing wrong with not taking a timeout. Neither one is wrong. Like I said, you're looking at time, score, situation, personnel. Well, it turned out that the time was 15 seconds. So you got plenty of time to bring the ball to the floor. Plenty of time. Then to get into what you want. Okay. They're backing up. They are in a set. And you go from there. I watch people debate this. I'm saying, what are we debating here? But, I mean, I don't know if he's a... I cannot tell you in a million years whether he's a great coach or not. I probably would have to text Mike Gorman and ask Mike what his impression of him happens to be. Because, I mean, he's been doing this in the NBA for a year as a head coach. So I don't know.
I can tell you he makes better in-game adjustments than Doc does.
He likes to keep two timeouts to the end. He likes to keep his challenge to the end. But, yeah, whether he's a great NBA coach or not, I don't know. I can't tell you. But I have no problem with what he did yesterday. I'm watching yesterday and go, yeah, so, good. There's no one way to do anything. And it all depends on time, score, situation, personnel. Okay. Now, this would be the one reason maybe I would have thought about a timeout. All right? This would be one reason I would have thought about a timeout. And it has nothing to do with advancing the ball. Why would I call timeout? All right? Yeah, I get an advancement of the ball, but it would have allowed me maybe to put Malcolm Brogdon back in the game. That would be a reason to do it. But White was playing really well, so, and Horford was playing really well, so I really didn't really think twice about it. I don't get... It's always interesting. It's usually a lot of television people advocating for timeouts to be called, especially former coaches. And they're the ones arguing about this. And it makes no sense to me at all. If I have an inexperienced team, I want a timeout. If I have less than 10 seconds on the clock, I want a timeout. If I have not looked good down the floor the last couple of times running my sets, I want a timeout. Conversely, if I've looked pretty good the last few times down the floor, I've got the right personnel on the floor, I got 15 seconds, I got people out there I trust, let's go. It just depends on what you're thinking in the moment and what your feel for the game is. And it's something that's so important in sports and is not talked enough about. And the reason it's not talked enough about is that we have been driven so much by analytics and so much by numbers and more numbers and more numbers and more numbers that they're taking over to the point where I'm wondering if the ones who have, quote, the great feel for it are the ones that are being X'd out. I mean, and that's a big part. We've had, you know, you talk about great games that have been won or lost because somebody had a great feel for it. And sit there in the press conference and say, well, the analytics said, no. It's like, no. In fact, a lot of what makes sports a lot of fun is the ad lib portion of it. That's the part that's fun about sports. Yeah, you're supposed to be in a certain spot, certain time, but there's a little ad lib that goes to it. And it's the ad lib part that excites the fans almost every single time. You know, we go back, you know, did some of the great football plays, the McSorley play to Irv Charles, the 50-yard touchdown pass. That's an ad lib play. Yeah, Charles is a 50. Charles doesn't even think he's going to throw the ball. He starts blocking. It looks like McSorley's going to run with it. McSorley pulls up and fires it. Charles catches it and goes the final 50 for an 80-yard touchdown pass. It's an ad-lib play. Much more excitement do you want? Yeah. You know, Seth Lundy takes that shot at the top of the key. Winner just gets himself to a spot. Right, that's not playing. That's an offensive rebound. He sticks back and wins it. Okay, it's somewhat ad lib on his part that he's there. Okay, that's fun. Oh well, take a break. You notice the suit's been talking less since the writer's strike started? We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
FOULED, that spells fouled up!
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
As Phoenix turns it over, boy, Jokic, a little bit of contact. Boy, that potentially could get dangerous.
I think Jokic was just trying to get the basketball from the crowd, and crowd a little upset about that, and going right into the area where Suns owner Matt Ispy is seated, just to our left in that corner, as security quickly trying to step in and defuse the situation. Teams will go to their respective benches. Siakogi landing. That's what happened there. Jokic, boy, trying to rip it away from Matt Ispy, and then the little shove.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy. A little bit of a flop from Ispy there.
Wow.
You got to sell it to the officials, you know. Look, we kid, but that could have gotten ugly.
To be honest with you, if it had not been the owner, he would have been thrown out. I'm talking about Ishbia. If he wasn't the owner, they'd have thrown him out. Just a thought, but I think that's my opinion. I think that if it was not the owner, he'd have been thrown out with the other guy. So, yeah. So there you go. I sense you're not done ranting, by the way.
No, not yet.
Hey. Well, what, you know, just preview the next topic. What are you starting out the next half hour with?
It's time for Colts owner Jim Irsay to go back to sleep.
Oh.
I'll just leave it at that.
Oh. I mean, he's won as many Super Bowls as you have.
That's fine. He still needs to go to sleep and take the cigarette out of his mouth.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Marcus Reed and Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. I was reading an interesting article today in USA Today about the Notre Dame TV deal, basically saying it's run its course. Now, I don't know if the two sides feel that way or not, but at least it was an interesting article.
Once again, Notre Dame's being stubborn.
Do you watch Notre Dame football on Saturdays?
I do.
Okay.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Marcus Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, RV, boat, motorcycle. Whatever it may be. They'll do everything they can to save you money. Maybe bundles, but they'll do what they can to save you money. And make sure you're fully insured. Customer service means everything to them. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, by the way, as the Purdy's give back to the community, benefits the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. August 9th, and we'll be doing the show out there that day as well. You get to meet Matt in person and listen to him complain face-to-face.
Bingo!
Nothing like it. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online to sunburymotors.com. So last night, John Kennedy of USA Today posted an article on the Notre Dame TV deal. And I know there's been a lot of talk about the Pac-12. The Big Ten already has its deal done, Big 12. ACC, SEC, they all have their deals done. Pac-12 doesn't. And so the Pac-12 is still working on it. But Notre Dame is also in the process of trying to get a new deal. So this is John Kennedy's thought process. He's asking the question if the Notre Dame NBC deal has run its course. So he put this into five parts. And part number one was the deal doesn't represent what it used to. Part about Notre Dame on NBC is this, and it's a little difficult for me for obvious reasons. A lot of times I'm doing games the same time they're playing. But for me, the interest in Notre Dame playing a game is always about who they're playing. If they're playing USC, okay. If they're playing Clemson, okay. If they're playing Toledo or Marshall or Navy, no. Now, you'll watch more than I will because you're a Notre Dame fan.
No, yeah, I totally agree. And with Navy, it used to be one of those games, but not anymore because Navy stinks. But here's the other problem, too, with Notre Dame right now. There's nothing really exciting about the program, at least right now. I mean, there are a couple of years removed from the CFP, even though they got destroyed by Clemson. But right now, there's just nothing appealing about the program right now.
Right.
For one, they have no quarterback. They had half a quarterback with Tyler Buchner before he went to Alabama. But now, I don't even know who they're going to play now at quarterback.
Well, they're talking about also, his second one is the product itself is lacking. Okay. They say, for one thing, they don't feel like NBC's putting a lot into it. And I think, is it Jack Collinsworth that's now doing the games?
Yes, that I can half agree with. I think everybody else in the broadcast team is fine, but yeah, Jack Collinsworth should not be doing play-by-play. I'm sorry.
Well, Catherine Tappan's not going to be there. She's going to be with Saturday Night Football.
Correct, yes, as she should be.
She's out, yep. She's going over to Saturday Night Football, so she'll be in Beaver Stadium on the 2nd. His third one is he writes, is the numbers gap. Currently, Notre Dame receives $22 million a year from NBC. And let's face it, $75, $80 million per Big Ten team over this deal coming up. It says reports indicate Notre Dame is seeking $75 million from NBC, which would place them in the ballpark. I can tell you right now, that's a negotiating ploy. They are not going to get $75 million. If they were to get $50, that would be a big win.
Yes.
I mean, it'd be a big win if they got $50, and I don't even think they're going to get $50. So then he writes, number four, other options. He writes, what are Fox, CBS, and ESPN's appetite for Notre Dame football? He said he'd like to know. Notre Dame pulls TV ratings. It always has, always will. Except that's not true. That's not true. It always depends on who they're playing. So, see, that statement's not correct. NBC, and Notre Dame football on NBC is usually in the twos for ratings. I mean, I see it. I look at the ratings thing. I know what it is. And if they're playing somebody big, oh, then it jumps up. Okay. That happens. But a lot of it is they're playing USC, it's larger. They play Clemson, it's larger. Right? They play Florida State, probably a little bit bigger. They play Marshall, Toledo, Navy, Stanford. It doesn't draw. So then he gets to his conclusion. So what is his conclusion? The entire discussion exists due to Notre Dame's independence. Okay. Kennedy says the institution values it, and he as a writer values it. Okay, that's fine. To ensure the Irish can remain viable without joining a conference full-time, it must accomplish two things. One, ensure independent status does not hold back the Irish from an expanded playoff entry, which it doesn't. It doesn't. Jack Swarbrick was on the committee that put this plan together. So they're not going to be ineligible. The only area they are ineligible is they cannot get a first-round bye. Only conference champions can get a first-round bye in the 12-team playoff. So that's handled. Number two, the TV deal must keep it within reach of conference deals financially. Well, if they get the $40 million per year, that would put them ahead of the ACC, the Big 12, and the Pac-12. They are not getting to 75. They aren't even going to get to 60. And I don't even think they're getting to 50. And to be honest with you, do they have the same brand power today that they did 5 years ago?
Absolutely not.
And they don't have the same brand power today as they did 20 years ago.
And I'll say this once. I've said this once. I'll say it again. Notre Dame's stubbornness is going to cost them more and more. Because being independent is the tradition, and that's the way we're going to be because that we're Notre Dame. Guess what? That's not where college football is going anywhere. Nobody else in college football cares. Jack Swarbrick and the Board of Trustees at Notre Dame. Nobody cares.
Well, yeah, but he has nothing to do with it, okay? You can't start blaming somebody when it's not his job. You can't do that, Matt. Okay, you got to know who the players are. He's the athletic director. He doesn't look at everybody and goes, we're independent. He doesn't make that decision. Okay? It's up to him to execute the decision. It's the Board of Trustees that decide whether Notre Dame is independent or not.
Yeah, that's why I said the board.
Yeah, but you said him. You blamed him. Listen to the tape. Okay?
Well, bottom line is Notre Dame needs to go to the Big Ten or sink. I've said that now for a while.
Well, in 1999, Jim Delaney laid it all out for them and did not do this half-hearted, we'll let everything in except football. He said, you're either all in or all out. And their faculty senate wanted it, but when they went to, I think it was Dublin, I think, their board of trustees voted no.
Okay.
And to be honest with you, I really don't know. Like, Father Hesburgh was very involved with Father Joyce as to what Notre Dame was doing sports-wise, but I'm not it's sure about Father Jenkins. It sounds like when I talk to people, they indicate that whatever Jack Swarbrick wants to do with the athletic department, he's okay with. So, I mean, it all depends. I mean, I think at some point, I think they're going to have to do it. I thought in 2020 when they had to play ACC football because of the pandemic, and they ended up in the ACC title game against Clemson, seemed like it was interesting. But I don't know. I think there's a certain point where they're going to have to join a conference. The playoff thing is set up for them to get in and have no problem getting in. They just can't get a first round bye. They can't be one of the top four seeds.
And to me, to do that to your football team is just unreasonable. Because we have to stick with tradition. You're going to affect your team now on the field and financially. I mean, let's get real here. Times are changing.
Yeah, but they get to host a first round game too.
That's fine, but for me as a fan, I want to do everything you can to get to win a championship. And giving up a chance to get a first round bye because you refuse to go into a conference, to me is just unreasonable.
Well, there's another part too, is I think my opinion, and it's only a complete guess. Right? But if I were to guess that this 12 team thing goes 2 years, then it goes to 16 when the new TV contract comes out. But I think they're going to have to do something. And we know that the Big Ten TV contract does have a clause in it dealing with Notre Dame. I mean, that's a well-known part of that. All right, so you had one more thing that you wanted to get off your chest?
Yes, and that was with Jim Irsay.
Jim Irsay.
And this ridiculous all warning about teams contacting them about Andrew Luck, who's been retired for 4 years now and hasn't even seen the field for longer than that. I guess this came up when the Commanders apparently reached out and made an inquiry about Andrew Luck's availability, and then they ended up trading for Carson Wentz. And he goes out and says, if any NFL team attempts to contact Andrew Luck or any associate to play for their franchise, it would be a clear violation of the league's tampering policy, because Luck has 3 years left on his deal, even though he's retired. So he's still Colts property, technically.
Well, he is. And it is tampering. But what I don't understand what the issue is.
I mean, the letter of the law, yeah, I get it. But the guy's been retired for 4 years, and you just drafted your first-round quarterback, so who cares?
Okay, letter of what law? Is he under contract and being paid by the Indianapolis Colts?
I guess he is, because even though he's retired.
Then it's tampering. He is a Colts employee. It is tampering.
I don't know. I just feel like it's wasted energy. You should be focusing on the guy you just brought in, who needs a lot of help to succeed.
That has nothing to do with it. If Washington wanted Andrew Luck, they can't just sign him. They have to trade for him. They can't just sign him. He's not a free agent. They would have to make a deal to get him.
All right, I get that. And if I'm understanding this correctly, it seems like they would, but they have to find out first if he's available.
Well, then you contact the team, and then the team contacts him. And there are also ways of finding out. You can call his agent and say, hey, by the way, you know, I know you represent this guy on our team. He said, you also represent Andrew Luck. Does he have any interest in playing? If he does, we'd talk to the Colts about a trade.
Well, it says any associate, so I'm guessing he probably couldn't even talk to the agent, though, right?
Probably not, because he is an employee of the Indianapolis Colts. Okay? Just like, for example, it would be the same if they went to, was it Ballard as his GM? If some other team wanted to, okay, all right, I'll give you a good one. Jonathan Gannon. The Eagles ended up flip-flopping a draft choice because they tampered with Jonathan Gannon. Now, who the hell would want to tamper to get Jonathan Gannon? And I have no idea.
Well, yeah, okay. that's exactly my thought process, too, but I'll take
it. but that's tampering.
I guess my problem with this is Gannon was an active employee, and Luck is retired. Now, I'm not saying the Commanders are right.
Luck is not Luck is not as retired as a player. He is not inactive on the payroll. It's the same as if somebody wanted, for example, I think, to get Ken Griffey Jr. to come out of retirement. They'd have to call the Reds. He's the sixth highest paid Cincinnati Red.
And I don't know, I'm not saying the Commanders are right in doing this. I mean, from a football standpoint, I don't know what they'd be doing in that case. You're trying to bring a guy that's been retired for 4 years and couldn't even stay healthy when he was playing. I mean, from that perspective, I don't get it.
Yeah, but it is tampering. He is an employee of the Indianapolis Colts. He is under contract for 3 more years. So you have to treat that like anybody else that is on the roster. They have not cut him. They have not released him. They are paying him. So it is tampering, and he's correct.
I guess it's just me then. I've never been a fan of Jim Irsay either, so that probably
I understand that. I understand that, but I'm just saying, but this is not a, well, he's retired, it's a free-for-all. Well, no, it's not a free-for-all.
Yeah, no, I get it. I don't know. I just still feel like it's kind of wasted energy because he's been gone for that long a time, but I mean.
Well, maybe you have to remind people that he has 3 more years to go. I mean, everybody's desperate for quarterbacks.
Clearly, if you're trying to bring a guy out from 4 years that couldn't play to begin with, or couldn't stay healthy, I should say, the guy could play.
I mean,
but
he was a darn good player.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I mean, that's what people are trying to do. I mean, They're looking around. I mean, right now, you're the Washington Commanders. And Sam Howell's your quarterback.
Yeah, not good.
I'd be trying to find out, too. But again, he's got three more years to go in his contract with the Colts. I mean, and they're not paying him the league minimum.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more in a moment. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It just hasn't been one of your better half hours.
My head's still spinning from the end of the Sixers game, so that's probably what's going on here.
I watched the end of it. I was like, okay, next. Drives you nuts, doesn't it?
Sometimes, yeah. By the way, the NFL schedule will officially be released on Thursday, says Adam Schefter.
Oh! All right, let's party.
Bingo!
I'm pumped.
I got to give the NFL a lot of credit. They take literally nothing, and they turn it into something.
They do. It's amazing.
I mean, it's like you already know who you're playing, and you even know where. Okay? You just don't know what the dates are. And they do a whole show around it. And people watch in droves. I love it.
Not just a show, a three-hour show.
Three-hour show. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my.
Actually, I have to admit, my other favorite part I like to watch, too, is seeing all of, like, the A announcers for each network come together and talk about their schedules. I always found that pretty cool. And they just did that, like, not too long ago. They just started doing that.
Well, what is it? There's a movie entitled Fever Pitch with Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore, and it's about the 2004 Red Sox season, and he's a Red Sox fanatic. And there's a point where he gets the season tickets, and then they start dividing up among friends who gets what game. This reminds me of you on Thursday.
That's fairly accurate. Except in this case, we're each splitting up phones to keep refreshing Twitter during the day leading up to the schedule release at 8 o'clock.
So they are going to release it Thursday.
Yes,
sir. My guess is the Eagles get the maximum six.
I agree.
Primetime games.
And I won't be shocked if they open up at the Chiefs.
With one of them being on Amazon.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And they play at the Jets this year, too, so I wouldn't be shocked if that's one of the games.
That's a game. Yep. It's either Monday night or Sunday night. And there are going to be some Monday night doubleheaders this year. Eagles may end up on a couple of those.
Yep.
Christmas Day in Philadelphia. Bring out Santa Claus and make it Dollar Dog Day.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.